Good evening, everyone. It is great to see you. Welcome. Thank you for coming out tonight on a windy night, rain and wind, but the Spirit blows where He wills, and we want Him to blow on us tonight, the Holy Spirit. That's my prayer, my heart's desire, is that we would sense the wind of the Spirit blowing, the breath of God among us, and Jesus real in our midst tonight. And welcome. It's great to see you, to everyone coming alive. And we're going to pray and worship in just a moment. But I just want to say, I hope you've all seen in your tables, there are notes for tonight. So there should be a copy of notes for everyone. There are more notes at the back if you need them, but please do refer to those through the night, and that will keep you on the straight and narrow. Tonight and next Tuesday are really all part of one vision presentation, if you like. So if you're not able for some reason to come next week, I would encourage you to listen online. And if you meet people who've not been able to come tonight, again, encourage them to listen to this evening online, because tonight we're really going to be talking, really the summary tonight is the sort of why. The why of the vision, and then next week will be the what. So we'll come on to a lot more practicalities and what's going to be happening by God's grace in 2020 next week. But tonight I want to really explore why we're doing it in the first place, which is always good to know. So I just want to say as well a real big thank you to everybody, because I love this church, and this is an amazing church family, don't you think? Have a look around you. We are an amazing church family. Every Sunday when I get up to lead services here, I am really grateful. I can honestly say that genuinely. I'm really grateful for all of you, because it's your partnership in the gospel that is really, really special. And, you know, as your vicar, I want to tell you that I love you, and I really feel honored and privileged to serve with you. I love the way that our church serves. We're a serving church. I love the way when people come in from the community that they are loved. I love the way we work in teams. I don't know if you know, like Ignite has 50 people on team, more than 50. The prayer ministry team's got something like 30 people. All these different teams, the worship team's got about 30. There's all these different teams around the church. And we love working in teams, and I love the way that this church wants to join in with what God's doing, and we embrace whatever God wants. That's the heart's desire, isn't it? It's not our agenda; it's God's will. And so, I just want to say thank you, really, for being you, and thank you honestly, thank you for all that you've done over this past year, and all that you will continue to do. I know because you love Jesus and you love other people. And 2019 has been an amazing year. It's been a good year. It's been a kind of multiplication year. I was talking to Lydia just a moment ago and just saying, remembering this time last year, we were launching the whole kind of vision around St. Michael's and the graft that happened. And it's been amazing to see that happen. And we talked last year, if you remember, about multiplying disciples and leaders and churches. And it's been and praise God, over this year we've seen that multiplication. The St. Michael's graft was done, and also not only did we send out a team and the Pettit family, but we also, one of the things I loved about it was there was a real sense of recommissioning for us and God doing something new among us as well. It's been a time this past year where we've seen almost 80 people go through the Leading Together, complete that Leading Together course, and give people that confidence. That's the one word that I heard more than anything else, was the word confidence, that people felt that they were enabled, and it was brilliant to be able to do that together. And also, even in terms of this past year, has been so encouraging, like multiplying life groups. And Ruth has done a fantastic job over as advocate for life groups, and seeing more life groups coming about and multiplication, and some groups even birthing new ones. And it's been a great year. We've got more life groups than we've ever had before as a church. And that's been happening not only in life groups, but in Ignite, where more and more people, the heart of Ignite is not you know, through a youth worker, but through the people of God here in the church. The same with Living Hope. Living Hope has something like 35 people involved in community outreach and evangelism. And all these things are multiplying. Cafe Hope continues to grow as well. And this place, I wish all of you could see Cafe Hope at the height of its outreach, because it is amazing. And again, the whole Cafe Hope team do such an amazing job. So this has been a year of multiplying and a year of blessing. And alongside that, as happens, alongside encouragements, we do all face the pressures of life. Don't we? Life is complicated sometimes. Sometimes it's hard, and it's healthy for us to be honest when we face those challenges, and we need to cultivate that wholeness and that looking to Jesus through the challenges and the trials and the sufferings that we go through as well. But thank you. That's what I really wanted to say, for being an amazing church. And I believe that God has even more for us planned. And we're going to kick off tonight with worship. And I'm going to invite Martin and Julie to come up. We're going to worship Jesus together, because it's in worship. Worship is not the singing of songs, as you know. Worship is that point of connection with our Savior. And I feel really passionate about St. Mary's, about Epping Forest, about the things that we're going to be talking about tonight, and seeing the gospel transform our communities. I've got a map of Epping Forest up here that we're going to come back to later on tonight. But the conviction in my heart really is that the only way we're going to see Epping Forest touched by Jesus is if we really are filled with the Holy Spirit. And if we connect and get filled up with God's Holy Spirit, nothing is impossible with God. Amen? It is true. And we can come more alive this year than we have ever been before. We have, if we think we've seen some good stuff up till now, when the Holy Spirit gets hold of us, it says in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. And that's what we want to see, isn't it? So can we stand? Let's stand together and let's worship. And let me just pray for us. Heavenly Father, we come tonight, Lord, thank you that tonight is a holy night. It is a precious night, a moment in the life of our church that matters, Heavenly Father. And we pray in the name of Jesus tonight that we will come more alive in Christ than we've ever been before. Draw us nearer to you, Jesus, than we've ever known before. May we taste and see with a greater flavor of God in our lives than we've ever tasted before. And I pray, Father, increase our hunger and thirst for the things of your kingdom. And we pray that we will go forward tonight in Jesus' wonderful name for your glory. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Lord, we come to you tonight humbly and saying, Lord, teach us, fill us, bless us, Lord. Lead us in the power of your Holy Spirit and in your love. Thank you, Father. In the end of this busy day with work and family and dinner and people to meet and things to do and weather to persevere through, Lord, we come tonight and we come to Christ, the living water. And we pray, Jesus, that you will touch all our hearts in your name. Amen. Amen. Please do be seated. Thank you. Just for those who've just come in, do grab your notes for this evening, and welcome. It is great to see you. I want to kick straight off tonight with, I think I've got a slide coming up again. If we could get the PowerPoint up, that would be brilliant. I think it's coming, hopefully. Right, well done. Yes, thank you. So this is the heart of what we're sharing tonight. And I'm going to say a few things now. And as we've been praying over what we're going to be sharing, and we've given you some insights over an email of what the sorts of things we're going to be talking about, some of these statements have been prayed over, and we've been thinking and praying into this for about 6 months now. Although, into this evening for 6 months. But obviously, some of the things we're talking about, we've been praying into for years. But I want to say this, and it's important, as a almost like a declaration, really, over our church, that we are a multiplying and resource church preparing for revival. That's who we are. Thank you. Well done. On the front row. Love it. Can we all say that together, actually? This is our liturgical moment here tonight. Let's just declare this together, because I believe this is something of the heart of God for us. And it's for us to receive, not just into our minds, but really into our hearts and our spirit. So let's say it together. We are a multiplying and resource church preparing for revival. One more time. We are a multiplying and resource church preparing for revival. And I think that's something that we want to just let sink in to our hearts. That's what we're about. We're not a club. We're not a sort of nice place to come and get a top up. We are a multiplying and resource church preparing for revival. And as it says here in the notes, God is calling everybody. Isn't that good news? You're invited. You're included. You belong to this church. You're part of what God has in store for us. And God has put you here now for such a time as this. You are significant to the purposes of God right now, every one of you. St. Mary's is called to plant the gospel throughout Epping Forest. Amen? And I love that, because there's a big emphasis today on planting churches. Actually, Jesus does the work of building the church. He calls us to go and bring the gospel. So as we bring the gospel, he builds his church. And that's the way it goes. And I understand what people mean by church planting, but I prefer planting the gospel and planting the life of God. And then watch Jesus. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that's the wonderful truth of what Jesus does. And beyond, we are all involved. And I love, thank you for coming tonight. It's so heartening to see so many here tonight, that I really want you to hear this is you, all of us, together. That's why the emphasis on this season of everyone coming alive in Christ is the word everyone. I hope you got that from the scale of the text. Everyone coming alive in Christ. It's for everyone. This vision is for all of us to play our part in sending, resourcing, multiplying, and ultimately revival. That's the heart of God that we want to see here in Epping Forest. And this is the very core of what I'm sharing about. What I'm sharing right now is right at the center of this vision. So just these three statements here, this is what we believe it could look like by God's grace, 2020, 2022. Deepening our relationship with God. So we're going to build up prayer and worship here at St. Mary's as we worship and seek God in the power of the Spirit. It's not just us, but it's us knowing Jesus that does this. It's us, and as we deepen, I'd love there to be like a hunger in our church that everybody wants to grow. Everybody's thinking like, how can I grow? How can I go deeper with God? Obviously, all of us have normal lives. We live ordinary lives. We eat, work, sleep, and we interact with people all over the place in jobs and in different atmospheres. That's fine. But we are also called to be a special people, really, God's people. And we are called to go deeper with him. And I really want to encourage, if you've been on a sort of plateau with God over time, and perhaps you've had a time in your life where you've been closer to God than you are now, I want to encourage you to ask the Lord to take you higher and not to plateau, or certainly not to go down, but to go up higher. Go up higher with Jesus. Take the time it calls for to develop your relationship with God. Then secondly, plant the gospel and multiply congregations. This is what we're called to do. And we're going to talk in a moment about this exciting vision about planting a new congregation within St. Mary's this time. That's good, isn't it? So last time we talked about planting external and grafting into St. Michael's and revitalizing a local church. This time, what we've sensed the Spirit saying, and we'll talk about it slightly later tonight a bit more, is that he wants us to plant something new, but within the church at this time. You'll hear more about that in a minute. And also becoming more mission-shaped in our life groups. I hope you've all got this, by the way, on your tables, mission-shaped living, the conference we've got on the 8th of February. Do take that with you. And tonight you can book up. Amanda can take our card payments tonight for this. We would love loads of people to come to this conference. John McGinley, his church in Leicester, has been multiplying through small groups. And one of the things that we could see happen is our life groups take off. And we can multiply through life groups as well and become mission-shaped as a church in small groups. And it's actually our small groups that actually most closely reflect the New Testament church, much more than gathered here on a Sunday, because they met in their homes. And that's why life groups are so central and important to the vision that God has for us here. So we're going to plant the gospel, we're going to multiply congregations by God's grace, and then also making disciples and growing leaders. So we want to share the gospel in the power of the Spirit and make disciples, see more people become Christians. Anybody want to see more people become Christians? Absolutely. Followers of Jesus. And we want to raise up then, and some of those new Christians are going to be those leaders that we're talking about here. Raise up confident, caring, and multiplying leaders. The thing is, with this vision, we're not talking about keeping everything to ourselves. What we're really talking about is giving it away. And that's what's so exciting. That's what Jesus did. Yes. Yes, we're not a holy club. We are Jesus' movement. And that's how God calls us to be as his church. This is an amazing challenge, and it will not be easy. This will be resisted. And sometimes it comes from within us, because we've got lots of times where we'd rather be comfortable and have nice services and just, can we please just build St. Mary's a bit more. This is a vision to go from addition to multiplication, not just adding numbers to St. Mary's, but actually multiplying the kingdom further and further. And the ripples of that as it goes out actually has even more effect. But it is a challenge. It is not easy, but nothing's impossible with God. It does flow naturally with what we've already been doing as a church, and it's going at the moment. Sorry, I should have moved on. About planting the gospel. It's also sacrificial. It is really sacrificial to multiply. It is to be a resource, to be sending, to be preparing for revival. And yet, this is the privilege that God gives us. It's fallen on our watch. And that's what our community needs. Our community needs to know the love of Jesus and know the goodness of God and the salvation of the Lord. And one of the things I put here is we need to simplify to multiply. In other words, sometimes our lives are so complicated that it's hard for us to grow. So maybe one of the things God wants to do is just bring us back to basics. And teach us that childlike trust and faith, taking risks, stepping out for God in new ways. Simplify to multiply. Keep it simple. We don't want anything complicated, because then we'll probably lose it. But it will mean that perhaps our priorities need to shift. Perhaps our thinking needs to change, which is not easy. I don't find it easy. Changing thinking, or it's part of everyone taking responsibility and playing their part in planting the gospel across Epping Forest. And one of the things I'd love all of us to do tonight is just to think to ourselves, how does this impact on my mindset? The mindset I come to church with, the mindset I come to life group with, the mindset while I'm worshiping or praying or hearing the word or whatever it may be, my mindset at work. Maybe my mindset at work needs to change so that I see that actually my workplace is my mission place and I'm called to be a missionary into that work environment or into the home environment or wherever God has called you. Mindset shifting, different approaches, because we are perfectly designed at the moment to achieve what we're currently achieving. But if God wants to do something new and different, we might need to change. And relook at what our priorities are. And I want to challenge, it's a challenge, but it's important for us to do that. And also, it's important to say that we may feel inadequate when we think about this. We may feel this whole thing may make us feel, oh my goodness, this is too much. You know, how can I possibly live up to this? How can I do this? And we all feel inadequate, which is the truth. Nobody is able to do this. None of us can do it. But that's why we need one another for support. That's why we need friendship in this church. And I really want to call us to invest in friendships around this church family. That's why we need to pray for each other, why the prayer ministry team is so important, because we all need help, encouragement, people to come and pray for us when we get discouraged, because we will. It's hard sometimes. And that's why we need the filling of the Holy Spirit as well. So I really want to encourage us not to give in when it gets hard, but because it will. But I want to encourage us to persevere and keep faithful and true to Christ and to what he's calling us to do. And then everyone over the page, everyone coming alive in Christ. This is the key to multiplication and revival. We want to come more alive, as I said before, in Christ than we've ever been before. That's the call of this, about coming alive. I know that many of us are, this is not talking, when we talk about coming alive, as though we're starting at ground zero as a church. We don't mean that at all. We are alive. There's a lot of life in this church. This place is like bursting with life already. But there is more. God wants to take us higher and deeper. And he wants to show us his kingdom. And it's really it's a call for us to just keep going with God. And if you do feel like your light is getting a bit low, just ask the Lord, Lord, let me burn for you again. Let me burn brightly for you in my life. That's what this is about. So it's not, I want you to hear it through the encouragement that it is. It's not saying that people are not alive. It's saying that we want us to go further and deeper. It's saying, well done for what we're already doing, but also let's press on towards what God's calling us. And let's make it something that we all do, everyone. So many churches have, you know, a few people who seem to be doing everything. I would love us to really be that church which has the priesthood of all believers. Everybody gets to play. Everybody gets to minister. Everybody gets to be involved. We don't mind if mistakes happen. Things get messy sometimes. We can sort that out. We can love, and there's grace to cover it. But the best thing is to go for it. The best thing is to try. The best thing is to step out and see what God will do, because he will do amazing things. If we don't ever step out, nothing will happen. Here's some brief, I could have come up with more, but a few examples. You know, it might be praying for people to come to Christ in your life. It might be being more confident in using your spiritual gifts. Every one of us has spiritual gifts that God's given us, and maybe some of them need to come more into life. Than maybe some of them are dormant, and God wants to just breathe life on the gifts of healing or prophecy or encouragement or who, you know, preaching or helps or all these gifts of the Spirit. God can breathe on them afresh, and I want to see all your gifts in full flight. Trusting God in everyday ways. That's a way of coming alive. It might be serving in what God wants me to do. The Holy Spirit comes upon servants. And I would encourage you, if you want more of God, serve. If you want to see God move, serve. Be a servant. That's one of the best ways, because Jesus, that's exactly like Jesus. Share the gospel with others. Be more loving, kind, and then also take more risks for God. Sometimes we can be quite safe in our Christianity, and I would encourage us to step out a bit more. So, why multiply? And that's what we said we would tackle tonight, because actually the thing about multiplying is that this is... This is our story as a church. This is who we are. This is what the Bible teaches us to do. Even right back in Genesis, you know, go forth and multiply, literally. But in the Great Commission, it is to make disciples of all nations. Jesus wanted us in the DNA of the church to multiply and keep going and do it again and again and again. Make disciples who make disciples. And I'd love to just invite a few people up. I'd like to invite Lydia and Sam and Steve to come up now, because I'd love to just share some encouragements with you about multiplying. And this is, as I say, this multiplication is what St. Mary's does. We've been doing it for a while. If you remember way back, some of you remember the Ruoff family. They're now serving the Lord in Hammersmith, or the Oram family, or different families who've been come up. Guys, come on up. Don't be shy. None of you are shy. And this is a dangerous thing to give the microphone to these people. Almost as dangerous as me. But God has been at work, and don't we love these guys? Aren't they great? Give them a big round of applause. Look at that. If you don't know Sam, Sam was curate here many moons ago and has gone on now. This doesn't feel like many moons ago. Has gone on to serve the Lord. He'll share in a minute. Lydia was also curate and has gone, as you know, to St. Michael's. And praise God, Steve. Come on, Steve. Yes. So I've asked them to just share, particularly for Sam and Lydia, to share encouragements of what God's done since they've been here and we sent them out, and what's happened as God's kingdom has multiplied. Can you tell us what you're doing and just share maybe an encouragement or something with us, Sam, that God's doing?
Yeah. Hello. So we started back in 2018. We're planting a church onto Barking Riverside, which is a new development being built on the edge of the Thames. About 1,500 homes now, going to be 10,800, and almost the size of Loughton, just shy of the size of Loughton. And we're trying to plant with life groups, essentially, what we're calling them hubs, and then multiplying those and wanting those to be the core, and when we've got monthly as well. But it's all about what tonight is. And I've got to say, tonight is so encouraging. I was encouraged by seeing this. When I arrived, our vision was for Loughton. And then it shifted to every person, every place saturated with God and beyond. And now seeing maps of Epping Forest, this part of me goes, why did you call me out, God? This was it. But what you're talking about tonight is what we're trying to do in a slightly different way. Or just starting with life groups before gatherings. So it's been exciting. Probably the biggest encouragement is seeing God fulfill the promises. Because especially when you're starting something really new and there's nothing there, you just go in with things that you think you've heard God say. But you never, I don't know about you, I'm never 100% sure this is what God said, because he doesn't write it in the sky for me. But you get to the point where you are fairly sure, and then you know, I've now got to step out. And there's that kind of hearing God, then there's the stepping into it and taking a risk, and then there's that space and waiting time where you're wondering, is it going to happen or not? And then the encouraging point is when it suddenly happens. So one of them for us would be this family that we met, James, Danielle, two little kids, a similar age to our little kids. We met them during 21 days of prayer and fasting, which we did relay. And then we met them off-site on soft play about a year ago. And I had in my head, just a thought popped in my head, these guys are going to be leaders in the church. But I was in a bad mood, so I didn't want to talk to them. But then then little Leo went over and was playing with their kids, and we ended up talking. And then I discovered, even though we were 20 minutes off Barking Riverside, they'd moved on to Barking Riverside. He had become a Christian about 4 years ago. Had spoken to his friend the night before, who had been saying, you've really got to get plugged into a church. He was wanting a church at Barking Riverside, and then we meet in a soft play 20 minutes away. And now, a year on, they became the core family for our first hub, kind of multiplied hub. So we started with a small team of us. We've now got the beginnings of two more hubs, so three, and then another one next Tuesday is about to start. And I say the beginnings because the amazing thing is half the people in our hubs are not Christian yet, which is fantastic. And we really believe that God is raising up non-Christians, local people who will be the leaders of the church. And then this guy, Hub Grow, I really want to see these things grow? Could we start a men's group? So we've been meeting on Tuesdays and then decided, yeah, we'll start trying to invite some people into that. And that's why we've now got two more people joining us, and that will start next Tuesday.
And has it been easy? Because you've started from scratch.
Easy peasy. Oh, it's great.
I've just talked to... Nice jumper, by the way.
Thanks.
I've just talked...
And I bought it.
Yes. I've just been talking about how it's not easy to do this. So what would you say from your experience?
It's a mixture of incredible and horrible. And I mean that quite seriously. I think this stuff starts with a serious decision where you say, I want my life to count. And that's it. You kind of, in fact, we were just with our original hub. We met on Monday, so yesterday. And we were starting the year dedicating ourselves again and saying, let's hand over all the reasons why we think God can't do this and this is too hard. We put them all in a box and we held hands, which is uncomfortable for most people apart from me. And then we prayed a prayer of, God, do whatever you want. And have us, and it starts there. And then the journey is painful. It's been lonely. We didn't want to leave this place, but God called us out. And it's lonely, and you're making decisions for your kids. You're making decisions that impact other people. You don't know if it's going to work. You never know. We still don't know if this is all going to work out. But then one of the biggest encouragements is people who come alongside you. And even just to say, for some of the people here who've prayed for us and just shot us the odd message and the odd thing like that, even something as simple as that is such a big encouragement. Just knowing there's other people who are also saying, yes, God can do this. Yes, you're not insane. Yes, it's worth it. And then when you persevere, then you get to see the moments where something happens.
Brilliant. Thank you, Sam. So Sam was sent out in 2018, and then in 2019, Lydia was sent out with Mark and the team. So can you share with us, Lydia, some encouragements that you've found since you've been... And tell us what you've been doing, in case anyone doesn't know.
Wow. So we've been there about 6 months now, isn't it, I think, coming up that...
Neighbouring parish.
So we've come out from St Mary's into St Michael's, which is just over the railway line, literally a mile down the road. And we're moving here, grafting into St Michael's. So our first few months has just been really becoming a blended family. So Mark and I have done that in the physical family of adopting Tyler and blending our family. And then we felt now we've got to do it with a church family. So we've been just building relationship and growing together and coming together, and we're now seeing that actually it's not just the graft team pushing for mission, but now actually we're hearing the rumblings within the church, and we actually pitched quite a out of our depth vision last Sunday, and they seem to want to do it, which is good. And actually, it's very similar to here, of that we want to be a resource and a multiplying church as well. And that's what we want to do. We don't want to just build bigger services or just to invite everyone to us. But actually, we want the invitation into people's lives, into where they're at. So it's really encouraging. So we've just been building that. We're just about to start a discipleship course. And that's come out of our vision of consecrating ourselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do amazing things. So we're going on a journey as a church together to start to consecrate ourselves, because I think people know that's what you need when the rubber hits the road. And we've experienced that as a team coming from all of this. It's amazing. All the worship and the prayer that you can get to somewhere where that's not really happening. You grab hold of your discipleship more than ever. Of actually back to worship, back to prayer, back to fellowship. You go back to the basics, and that's what we've been doing, and that's now where we're journeying as a church together.
I love that emphasis on being, so, you know, what's great here is thinking of like grafting into a church, which then goes on to plant churches, and that your vision is not just to for you then to keep it all, but for you to you to plant. And that's what multiplying is, really, isn't it?
Exactly. And we'd never wanted St. Michael's just to become a little bit bigger. And so the diocese think, oh, well done. It was always to get out. And we've been talking about not us always inviting, everyone's always invited, but actually how do we get an invitation into every home and every life in our community? And we've had the first fruits of that already. We've had a few families come and join us, which has just been amazing. But also a local organisation who aren't Christian have asked St Michael's if they would come in and pray for them. Which is just amazing. And there's not much we've done. So we are, once a month, been invited in for 20 minutes to lead a time of worship and prayer. So it's starting.
Tell us about your carol services.
Our carol service, yeah, we got told prepare for about 50. So we went, let's do 70. And we got 70 chairs. And Mark and I were on the door welcoming like good vicars do. And we didn't realise how many people were coming in. And then we went into the room and realised it was packed. And our quite elderly people were carrying chairs. I'm thinking, ah. And we had 130 people come to our carol service. And they were all... But they were all from the local community because our car park was completely empty, which means they've all walked. And they were all families, and they were all mostly not Christian. And what we heard so much on the way out on the door was, oh, I didn't know I could come to church. And it was like, well, of course you can. So it's already beginning the rumblings, but we want to find ways not just to get them to us, but how do we get to them?
Can you just do one last thing? How have you and Mark and the team kind of coped with the challenges that you've faced?
It's been tough. It has. I think you don't hear missionaries say, I go to the mission field to die for no reason. But you do. Actually, there's a part of you that has to just die. And the part of us that we found hard is that it just had to be our expectations of what we expect Sunday to be. And we just had to let that go. And so it has been hard. And we've had to sort of regroup a few times and remember what being a disciple of Jesus is. It's not having everything put on for us, but actually we need to dig deep and live the life of Christ that we've been called to. But it's hard. It's sacrificial. You've got to surrender our children for a few months. They didn't have groups, so they were sitting through quite traditional services. And we just had to keep leaning over and say, keep looking for Jesus. Keep looking for Jesus. And it's surrendering, and you just got to get on with it.
Thank you. Yeah. Brilliant. Can we give these guys a big round of applause? Thank you. Pete, stay here. And I really want to... I'd love Steve to share. It's brilliant having Steve and Sarah with us here now for 6 months already at St. Mary's. And what's your heart going forward, Steve? Because we're beginning to look for some stuff that may happen in terms of church planting. What's your heart?
Yeah, thanks. So kingdom multiplying. And this whole thing about it's not about addition, not about people just coming in, but actually the kingdom breaking out in communities across our local area and actually across the nation. And so my real heart as I've come into this, I mean, it's so... Isn't this extraordinary, hearing what God is doing? Like, this is just such a wonderful, inspiring, slightly intimidating, but wonderful, legacy that I feel like I'm able to step into and enter into and follow these guys who have been faithful and obedient. My heart is really just, you know, there are communities out there just gasping to hear the gospel of Jesus. They don't know that that's what they're gasping for, but they are. And we have it here. In this room, we have the gospel of Jesus in our hearts, and they need to hear about it. So that, yes. And in a nutshell, that's really...
It's brilliant. And so Steve and Sarah have come, and what our heart's desire is, we're praying and looking and asking the Lord, where do you want us to plant? And it may be, it's possible, it's not 100% certain, but it may be that through Steve, through Sarah, that the next plant goes out from St. Mary's in some form or another. So... Praise God for this wonderful Trinity up here today. And let's give them another round of applause. Thank you so much. Bless you. Thank you, Steve. Brilliant. Thank you. And I just want to say, I mean, that's really encouraging, isn't it? And Bishop Peter, our bishop, has designated us as what they call a resource church. It's called that by the diocese. and it's part of the national strategy in the Church of England. And it's quite helpful for us to grasp hold of this, because this really affects the way we will be doing church and the way we're going to go forward. It's about being part of a strategy to evangelize across the region by sending leaders with teams and funding to plant new churches or to revitalize struggling churches in areas of need, and then to do this again and again as we go forward. It's never going to stop till Jesus comes back and as the Holy Spirit leads. And we also want to be, as a resource church, developing leaders who are able to step into those places and into those churches and communities, who will be able to take the kingdom of God out in whole new ways as well for the region in that planting, and to provide mission resources across the region as well. So the diocese do see us as St. Mary's as more than just one local church. They do see us as a sending station, if you like, a missions base whereby we can evangelize Epping Forest. So in 2014, there were 6 resource churches nationally in England, in the Church of England. And now in October 2019, we became the 84th resource church in the Church of England, which is great, isn't it? What I'd love you to take from that is what God is doing here, he's doing in so many different places. And he's stirring people up. He's stirring up his church, which maybe was asleep not so long ago, and now we're waking up. And that's why you and I are all part of this. And it's really exciting. The challenge is, and Steve and I recently went to a conference where the national strategy advisor for the Church of England was speaking, and we had some interaction with him. And these are some of the points that he was making about resource churches and the challenges for us and all these other churches up and down the land. So the challenge is, within St. Mary's, is there a culture of commitment to being sent and to reach out with the gospel? Desire to give away with extravagant generosity, people, resources, and finances. Excitement about church planting, something just for clergy. This is for everybody. And a lot of these churches, new churches that are springing up, are not being led by clergy. They're being led by lay people, which is also great, isn't it? Things are changing. It's good news, isn't it? And a willingness to change for the sake of the gospel. Do you hear that? A willingness to change for the sake of the gospel and to experiment and take risks. Now, having seen that list, are we up for it? It's an important thing. It's an important thing for us to really take this on board and to own this, and not to just go, yeah, fine. You get on with that. That's not what we're talking about tonight. This is for all of us, and it will only really work if we all get involved in some way. So, exciting things, and I'm going to invite Ashley and Hannah to come up now and share something brilliant. Let's give them a big hand. Because they're going to share with us our next step. So you saw Steve up here, so that's Steve and Sarah. May, we don't know yet 100%, but maybe sort of 2022, sort of looking at that, sort of we're still looking strategically, and we have to do this in partnership with others as well and be led by the Spirit. But the next step this year is with these guys. So come on up, and there we go. Who's going to kick off? Ashley, there we go. The last lot turned it off.
Good start. Good evening. Yes, Malcolm's already mentioned. My name's Ashley. This is my wife, Hannah. For those who don't already know, we have three young, very energetic boys. And we've been coming to St. Mary's now and been part of the church family for approaching 7 years. So what we'd like to do this evening is share a vision with you about developing a late afternoon, Sunday afternoon service. Hannah's now going to explain how the idea came about, the heart behind it, and the hope we have taking this forward. So I'm going to hand this over to Hannah.
I've made some notes because I definitely have the gift of waffling. I suppose the seed was first planted due to the circumstances that we found ourselves as a family in. When our children, which Ashley has already mentioned, are very lively, first became involved in sport, we set about with very black ideas that sport and the involvement would be Saturday and weekdays only, and Sunday was going to be set aside to be actively involved in our church family. For myself, coming from a Christian home, I value the biblical foundations that were set out in my childhood and the friendships, the Christian friendships that were developed and evolved from there and are still really strong and foundational to me today. But as we went along and our Saturday leagues kind of went into Sunday leagues, our battles began. What we had thought would be an easy decision began to blur, and there were actually areas of grey. We found ourselves in regular battles with our children because it was difficult for them to understand that we've been a part of this team for however long, and now we're being removed from it. And then we've been in this team, and now we've been removed from that. So we tried to, and at the same time, the team, their friendships, they're all meeting together still. It's the team continues, but they've just been taken out. And so we tried to compromise, but logistically it became very complicated. Interestingly, we have noticed that standing on the sideline of a football pitch is that sport teams are an incredible replacement for the need of church. And by that, what I mean is everybody's gathered there for the same purpose. There is fellowship there one another when it's needed. However, obviously, the key ingredient that is missing is Jesus. What we also noticed is that it's not just the fathers and sons are there. It's the mothers, the daughters, the grandparents, the aunts and uncles, the siblings. And it's a real family event, and it's where many people come together and spend their Sundays before they go for a Sunday lunch. For us, this kind of closed down the opportunity for us to invite our friends to church services, in spite of the soul-searching that they were going through or the discussions about faith that we were having with them within our mission field. So last year, we also completed the leadership course. And at the end of that, Malcolm's already mentioned it, but at the end of it, we were encouraged to think about ideas, share them. And so we went away and we prayerfully discussed this idea that we had. And then we took it to the leadership at St. Mary's. And I guess this service is the fruit of that course. The heart behind this service is really to create an opportunity for people to be able to, for people who are unable to attend a Sunday morning service. As we thought about this, for myself, I was a nurse, and I remember the chaos that shift work used to bring to being committed to absolutely anything. And then there's people who require care or carers, or there's just a multitude of reasons why people can't regularly attend a Sunday morning service. And so that we feel that this will be a really exciting opportunity for us to invite our friends, but also for our children to invite their friends. Taking into the account the demographic of this area and the fact that there is a thriving Christian secondary school on the doorstep, we would love this to be a family service. We want the richness that comes from having all ages, from the grandparents right through to the young siblings or babies. There are also many people in this area, and young people, particularly from Christian homes, who are involved in Sunday activities in the mornings outside of church. And the feedback that we have had from these families is that they would love to have more opportunity to be able to be involved in a Sunday service in a thriving church family. And it appears that, surprisingly, we're not the only family to have had Sunday morning battles. I don't know if that's encouraging or not, but this is why we felt that the service should be held in the late afternoons. It's very practical, really, so that people can have their days together. The Sunday roast can be cleared away, and the evening is left free for the downtime, for planning, for preparation for what we know is to be a really busy week ahead. The details of the service are going to be discussed in greater detail in the next visionary meeting. However, just a rough outline is that at this point it will be starting around the 4 p.m. mark. It will be a structured meeting, so there will be worship, there will be teaching, outreach, fellowship, and obviously opportunities to serve. And it's also going to be a slightly shorter service than the 10:30 service, the 10:30 family service. The hope that we've got for sharing this with, you, let me read this bit. The hope for sharing this with you today is that you would catch something of this vision, that you would prayerfully consider if this is something that you would like to be a part of. Ultimately, we do want God to guide us in this adventure. We are definitely stepping out of our comfort zones. We do want people to be introduced to Jesus. We want to see lives transformed, restored, and healed, definitely. And we think this is going to be really exciting, and we would love you to be a part.
Awesome. Thank you. Let's give them... let's take that. Just for a second. Thank you. It's brilliant. And from my point of view, when Hannah and Ashley came to me, my journey with it was that someone in the church who I really trust about the prophetic came and said to me that they felt that the Lord was saying that we would plant again before sort of 2022 sort of time. When I heard that in the beginning, I was sort of like, well, okay. I don't know how or where, so I just kind of shelved that. And then not long after that, Hannah and Ashley came and shared that with me, and I was thinking like, wow, this is amazing. This is planting something new, a new worshiping community, a new congregation, really, that God would bring about. And it's just got such potential for so many people to engage at this time of day that may not engage at another time. So when I kind of put those things together, so it kind of, for me, it started with a prophetic word that I then found that God, you know, it's not always been my experience that people come up to me asking to start. So this is this tonight, because we'd love the Lord to stir up in different ones of our hearts. Lord, maybe I could be part of the 4 o'clock or the, you know, whenever it happens, but that congregation. And that God, we kind of want to learn from how we did the grafting with St. Michael's as well. Because this would mean really being committed to that time and that community. So you'd be almost kind of, as a team, sort of left the church family and went to St. Michael's. This would be a bit like people who might think, well, I'm gonna uproot from the 10:30 and I'm going to plant into the 4 o'clock. So that I can really give myself to that. And we'd love there to be a whole group of people within the life of St. Mary's who would do that and join in with that. It's going to develop as it goes, and there's going to be a bit more information next week about it. But I'd love us to take it away this week and just ask the Lord, Lord, is this something that you want to lay on my heart? And there'll be time for question and answer and just different things next week that we'll share about. So is that okay? I'd love us to pause and pray just at this moment, because it's really important, and I'd love to pray for you as well, because Ashley and Hannah are really stepping out. And this is a bit of that risk-taking thing we were talking about. This is that willingness to change for the sake of the gospel thing that we've just talked about. This is what we're doing. And so I want to honor you and thank you for doing that. But can we pray and just pause now and give this to God? Father, we are so grateful, Lord God, that you speak to us and we can hear your voice. Father, thank you for how you have called Ashley and Hannah to step forward in this way. Lord God, thank you that you've called them to step up and step out in this way. And we pray now in the name of Jesus that you would just plant seeds in our family, our congregation, Father, and that this new expression of that family, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit that you would call the people that you want to be part of that new thing and just speak into their hearts, even over this tonight and into this week, just that nudge from God that says, that's you. We pray for that, Father. And we pray to build this on the Lord Jesus Christ, on the solid rock of Jesus. And we pray that it would result in many people becoming disciples of Jesus who might never have been in church otherwise. Many people in our community who don't yet know you, who one day will know you, because today we gave our yes to you. And I just pray for that, Father. Give us courage. Help us to step out. And I thank you that you will be with us. In Jesus' name, and I pray for Ashley and for Hannah, for you both, that you will just know the hand of the Lord upon you. And that as you've seen something that God wants to do, that God would be with you and encourage you and bless you and strengthen you and protect you and anoint you for this ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Brilliant. Let's give them a round of applause, because it's brave. That is brave, to put yourself out there and say, come and join what God might be doing. We don't know, but we're going to have a go. And that's good. We're going to have a little time for reflection and discussion now, just on your tables. So just a few minutes, really. What is my part in the adventure of this kingdom? And where might God be calling us as a church to plant next? And that's why I've taken this map here of Epping Forest. And I've also given you post-it notes on your tables, because you might want to, I'd love to hear some discussion from you on where might God over the time be calling us to plant in Epping Forest. That's pretty exciting and daunting. But has God been speaking to you about this already? What's God been saying? What might God be saying? So just have a few minutes chat, discussion, talk about what you've heard. And there's a couple of questions there to prompt you. I'm going to leave you for a few minutes, okay? Thank you. Perhaps we could put some music on, that would be great.
For Christ the King, Christ the King, 'cause not even death can hold you down. You rose to claim your righteous crown. Now every heart and soul is out. For Christ the King, Christ the King, not even death can hold you down. You rose to claim your righteous crown. Now every heart and soul is out. For Christ the King, for Christ the King, not even death can hold you down. You rose to claim your righteous crown. Now every is for you, Jesus, let this be for you. All of this is for you, Jesus, let this be for you. All of this is for you, Jesus, let this be for you. All of this is for you, Jesus, let this be for you. Speak for you.
Okay, can I encourage you to just bring those conversations to a close? I do want to encourage you as well with your post-it notes. If you've got places or people groups or whatever, fresh expressions or whatever it is you may have in your heart, or you feel that maybe God's whispered into your heart about places in our community, feel free to write them down and stick them up on the map, even as we as you head home tonight. I'd love to see what might be in the heart of God's people about where we could plant. This is something that I'm beginning to talk with the diocese and the bishop and the archdeacon and other people about where might God be calling us in terms of church planting. Now, areas of focus going forward so that we can create a capacity to multiply. And these are some things, just briefly, that I just want to bring to our attention, because they're very important, actually, to enable us to do this. There's no point in saying, like Jesus said, don't say you're going to build a tower and then run out of money. You know, count the cost and then build your tower. So that's what this is about, counting the cost. How do we actually go forward? How can we create capacity to do what we're talking about? And these are also questions and things that the PCC has agreed unanimously with this proposal. There's been discussions and separate PCC meetings just about this, because the PCC wanted to really, the trustees of the church really wanted to own what this was about. So that's really good as well. Here we go. So the first one is about focusing on simply living our values of encountering God, living for the kingdom, loving deeply, and sharing Jesus. So much of what we're talking about tonight is just about living this out. To live this out means we'll do this anyway. It's doing our vision, every person, every place, saturated with God. This is what it means. This is practically living it. And I think sometimes what we want is to find simple ways to help us engage, connect, and do these things and live these things. We're going to be doing a little bit of a survey this year that will help us to work out from us as a congregation where we're at now, to enable us to know where we need to, you know, pinpoint to go forward. Because sometimes it's hard to be able to, just through perception, to work out, well, where are we now? So that we're going to be asking you to fill something out for us over this, at some point this year, that will help us to work out where we're at with encountering God, where we're at with living for the kingdom, where are we at with loving deeply and sharing Jesus. And that will help us to know how to move forward in those things. And really the thing is about, as it says there, genuinely owning and taking responsibility for nurturing these values in our everyday lives. It's really not just a logo. It is actually, in the daily things of life, how do we be disciples of Jesus? Then prioritizing training and growing leaders. That's really important. And across the Church of England, who are talking a lot about church planting, this is one of the key things, is about raising up new leaders and empowering people and equipping people for works of ministry. And that's what I'm directing. You know, our staff team are all about equipping others. It's not about them doing the work. It's about them equipping people. The whole ministry belongs to everybody, the whole people of God. And if we're all doing that, we're going to be fine. We want to help raise confident, caring, and mission-shaped leaders. And helping people to see themselves as leaders, because I've often encountered people who feel like, well, I'm not really a leader, but actually you are. And yeah, you can lead, and God can use you as well. And making our training simple and accessible, you know, that's important too, that we want it to be things that people can put into practice easily. We want to create a leadership capacity to revitalize churches in Epping Forest. That's a great vision, isn't it? The church is crying out for leaders today. And as a resource church, we're generous in sending leaders out. It's our sending, not our seating capacity, that is key, which is important for us to just hear. Number three, getting out more among people to share Jesus. Because this is all about people. It's not about projects or programs. All about people. It's about you And then it's about the people in our that we live among and that we relate to. How do we best reach our community to Christ? Here's some stats. There are 7,200 people in our parish, 31,000 people in Loughton, 130,000 people in Epping Forest. And God has been recently just putting that number of 130, I keep thinking of that, 130,000 people in our area. And God wants all of them to come to repentance, not one of them to be lost. Everyone to come to repentance. Those people are all facing eternity with or without Christ. Every one of them will die one day. And we have got the opportunity now to share Jesus with them. So Mary's, we've got around 230 adults and 115 kids and youth. And so that's just a small picture for us as to how big our... But we've got a big job. We've got a big God who is with us in it as well. I don't know if you know this. I want you to remember this statistic tonight. How many people belong to... And I've only got stats for the Anglican Church. It's not because we think we're any better. It's just because those are the stats I've got. I don't have the statistics for the others. But Anglican churches, 0.9% of Epping Forest is in church on Sunday morning. That should make us think, shouldn't it? That made me think today of the 99 who were lost. It is 99 out of 100 who Jesus is sending us out to. That's a big mission field. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Let's think about that. God is calling everyone to share Jesus, and that's why we're all involved and all invited. And we all need to step in and come alive in Christ for the sake of Epping Forest, for the sake of the people around us, to share Jesus, and for every age and every stage of life, not just young people, but the elderly. The elderly are part of God's mission as well. Every age, stage, those in families, those living alone, everyone is included in this. And we want people to, we've been working for a while now with this phrase of helping people take the next step to Jesus. Wherever they're at now, what's the next step for them? So some people it takes years and years, other people are very quickly coming to Christ, but what's the next step for everybody who could find out about Jesus? And our outreach is based on relationships, community connections. At the core of it is Cafe Hope and Living Hope, Ignite, Little Lambs, life groups. These are some of the things at the core, but also remembering as we live our lives at work, in neighborhoods and streets and so on, that's also part of our mission field. Caring for the poor, bringing justice, things like food bank, job club. These are all opportunities for us. And the great thing is that the gospel, there is power in the gospel to bring that transformation. It's not like we're peddling some sort of we hope this will work message. It does. Jesus works. Jesus is real. He's alive. And there's enough power in the gospel to transform our community. Do we believe that? There is enough power. Jesus saves. He is alive. And he can do it. I love thinking, when I think about the 130,000 people in Epping Forest, my mind does turn to Evan Roberts in the Welsh Revival, who prayed. Does anyone know how many people he prayed would come to Christ? 100,000. He said, God, would you shut hell's door for 1 year? I think that's a good prayer. Hell has no exits. He said, shut hell's door for 1 year because I want 100,000 people. And how many people were converted in the Welsh Revival? 100,000. 100,000. God can do it. And we've got 130,000. So we need to be praying for our community. Let the nets down on the other side for a big catch of fish. The awareness, this is point number four is really important as well. Because I want you to hear that what we're not saying tonight is, let's all get busy. Or, in your busy lives, let's add 20 more things. That's not what we're saying. Not what we're saying. This isn't about doing more. It's about coming alive more. Spiritually, really coming alive. Because this stuff will happen the more we're close to Jesus. And that's the real point of it. So we know that the awareness of the pressures of everyday life are great on people. And also we want to, as in all the talk of mission, we have not, the need for pastoral care and discipleship just grows. But that's where we're also all invited and included. You get to be the spiritual mums, dads, nurses, doctors who will look after and care for and love and listen to people who come to Christ and one another in the midst of the battle, because we need to look after each other. We get to care for each other as part of this mission. On our staff retreat, we were really reflecting on how we're like a sort of organic ecosystem, and we need to build in that sort of regeneration within us, that sustainability, so we don't just burn out for God as we come alive. We don't want to just fizzle out in a couple of years because we've all had it. We've no more energy. We want to be sustainable. Everyone is like that seed that can reproduce life, but we need to care for one another and help one another. That's why life groups are so important to build mature disciples and leaders. And it's also, and this is something I really believe is important, and I want to say this, that we all take responsibility for our own growth as Christians. I can't make you grow. I can't make you love Jesus. Only you can set your face towards the Lord and say, Lord, do a new thing in my life. I will encourage you. I'm going to own my walk with God and take responsibility for it and go forward. That's an important part of it as well. And not only to do that, but to take our responsibility to rest. Take responsibility to serve and rest. As it says there, St. Mary's is a family where there's no pressure. That's important. There's a time to serve and a time to rest. And a time to be still and hear the Lord speaking and not be active, but be still. It may be that coming alive in Christ will for you mean laying something down. Never mind taking it up, so that you can give time to the Lord and listen to his voice. So nobody's saying this is not an agenda for get busy. It's an agenda for let's get close to the Lord. No pressure. We will thrive when everyone takes responsibility to share the load, regardless of how small or large. I believe that. And the PCC will keep looking at this kind of issue of levels of busyness. We're a busy church. We're a high road church. Lots going on all the time. And we need to be careful. We need to watch and love and care and protect and have right, healthy boundaries and rest when we need to rest. God works best, someone said, when we're at rest. God is able to win victories in your sleep. And that's true. So number five, improving how St. Mary's functions will enable our mission. That just sounds so boring, but it's so important. Let's be honest. It is really important because we're not playing games here. This is important. We want to look at how our church leadership will look at our buildings, communications, website, database, finance to better enable mission. Sometimes we can have all these plans and heart and passion, and then over here, we're not actually structuring it properly. We want to look how we can change for the sake of the gospel. We'll take a look at our leadership structures as a church to try and make us more flexible and more empowering. Really, we want this to be an empowering church where people can be released in ministry, but also in a safe place where we can be accountable as well. So we're looking at these leadership structures. And also it talks there about a strategic timeline for church planting to allow us capacity. So sometimes, you know, if you've all the ladies who've ever given birth among us will know that you can't just keep giving birth forevermore. You need space in between to rest. And if we're going to birth new churches, we can't just, capacity is quite important. You need time to rest. You need time to recuperate. You need time in spiritually birthing new churches and new congregations and multiplying new ministries. There's also got to be a place for rest, recuperation, recovery, and then planting again and doing it that way. And it's very organic. We can draw from the natural world in all of that. Then on to everyone has a part to play. God is calling everybody, if you didn't get that message by now. How can we draw people from the edges of our church into the body? And as I said before, I really want everyone to hear, I don't see a church with fringes. I don't have fringes in this church. As far as I'm concerned, everyone's in the middle. Everyone is involved. Everybody is part of it. But I would love to draw those who feel on the edge more in. If that's how they feel, I don't want anyone to feel outside. I want everyone to know, how do we draw people in? That's important. And how does everyone's giftings come alive? Because it really isn't just about a few people's giftings, it's about all of us. What is my part in this adventure is the question. The bishop, remember, said when we opened the Hope Center, he said, everyone is a Hope Center, which is a great word for us. And that includes you. And I want you to think about it. And we've all got this involvement. We're going to go to the last one. Most of all, everyone coming alive in Christ starts with me. And I've written this in quotes. This is my quote. I was preparing this one day and I just thought, this is what I really want. I want to come more alive in Christ than ever before. I do. Me. I really do. I feel quite daunted by a lot of this. Thinking, how are we going to do this? I have no idea. But I want to come more alive in Jesus. I'm sure that's where we should start. That's where I need to start. God wants to do a fresh work in us. Let's be willing for a reformation of life. That's what's not the easy bit. But for a renewed commitment to Christ and his church, repentance and coming back to our first love. Lord, send revival. Start with me. For the sake of Epping Forest, start a fire in me. We don't want to miss what God has for us. And here's the thing that's good. Caroline found this in a book recently, and I thought it was really helpful. You just got to go for it. And we simply have to start and keep going even when conditions are unfavorable. And we will we'll see this fulfilled in our own lives, and then we can all come alive together. You can't make someone else come alive. You can only ask God to do it for you. But if we all do it, that will make a difference. And I've got put something on your tables. We're going to close shortly, but I put something on you. Can you grab this bag of seeds? It says, do not eat, because they were next to the sweeties. Hopefully nobody has eaten their seed bomb. And there's some instructions in there about what you need to do. Now, in your bag, there's one for everybody, is one of these. A little seed bomb. Come on. I didn't even know these existed until recently. But we are seeds. And we are meant to multiply. Okay? You can take this home and you dig it into your ground. There's instructions there. You simply throw and grow any time of the year. Isn't that a great mission statement? This is like an evangelistic. This is the instructions for the seed bomb. Are we listening? These are the instructions for the seed bomb. Simply throw and grow any time of the year. It's our new church vision statement. Especially during winter. Any time where there's an empty patch of soil, a flower garden, preferably there's no weeds growing. Praise God, that's so biblical. Gently press down on the sole of your shoe. No need to water in. Nature will take care of that. God is quite capable of growing seeds. This is all you needed tonight, actually. Forget all your notes. Take this home and apply it. You've got your seed bomb. So take this home. And this is a reminder to you. It's a kind of fun little picture that this is what we're like. I want to read out from John 12. John 12, Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. You hear that? The seed goes into the ground. If it dies, it produces many seeds. That's multiplication in the kingdom of God. Jesus was speaking of himself, of his death on the cross. If he died, and his death produced the kingdom of God breaking out in the world. Anyone who loves their life will lose it. This is Jesus saying exactly what we've been saying. And anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. Jesus didn't find it easy to die so that his kingdom could be multiplied. And for us in our context here, not talking of the in a different way, but that we are like seeds, that we are called to be planted to die to self, but then to multiply out. Jesus rejected the easy route. Dying to self is the way to multiply. And we do that through humility, not controlling our own agenda, and so on. We send people out, kingdom of God. And what else is there? There's nothing else that we want to pursue in our lives apart from his kingdom. If it dies, it produces many seeds. So, brothers and sisters, this is the picture of what we're about and what God's calling us to. I'd love us to have a time of prayer just for a few minutes. If would you mind standing if you're able? We're going to close in just a few minutes. But perhaps just for a couple of minutes, I've just run out of time. But why don't you just grab one other person, men with men, women with women, and pray together. Just pray. Pray, men pray with men, women pray with women, and twos or threes, and but you're all right. I'm sure you're all right. Go on, Pete, you pray there. But let's just pray for a few minutes. I'm gonna don't head off out the door just yet, because I've got one last thing at the end. But I'd love us to pray. That's a picture of our meadow in the vicarage, actually, which is wildflowers that were planted. And may God give us a picture of the future, of a revival in Epping Forest, of multiplication of his kingdom and his glory and salvation. So let's just pray into that now. Go for it. Pray. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray this is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We pray, Father, that where we feel inadequate, where we feel so weak, Lord, we know we're just ordinary believers, but Lord, thank you. You are the Lord Jesus Christ. You are extraordinary, our God, our Savior. And we place ourselves in your hands tonight. Lord, may your grace be made perfect in our weakness. May your gospel be spread all through these communities of ours, Lord, where you love the world so much. And Jesus, I pray that you're loving. Lord God, help us to step out, to take those risks. Father, increase our commitment to Christ. Increase our love of one another and our fellowship, Lord Jesus. Help us to encourage, strengthen and care for one another, Lord God. Help us to pay the cost, to not worry about the sacrifice, but to just to see your kingdom come, your will be done, that we'd be willing, Lord, to go through with God, whatever it may cost. And Lord, we thank you that it is a privilege to be a family together on a mission. We thank you, Lord God, that we're not just here making time and just patting each other on the back, Lord. We're here as an army. We're here as a family. We're here to be a hospital for sinners. We're here, Lord God, to be a missions base. We're here, Lord, as seeds that you sow into this field of Epping Forest. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that life will be reproduced. I pray that multiplication will happen and that many will come to know Jesus, disciples who make disciples. So, Lord Jesus, we offer ourselves to you. We ask this, Father, for your glory now and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Just take your seats for 1 minute, if that's okay. Thank you again for coming. And I want to encourage you again, the Living Hope conference that Mission Shaped Living. It's all living something. Mission Shaped Living conference that we've got. Do see Amanda. She's got her card machine if you want to book up for that conference, because that will add so much more. And I really want to encourage you to come again next Tuesday night, where we will, as tonight we've talked about why we're doing this. Next week we're going to talk more about what. So hopefully you'll be blessed as you come back. God bless you, and we'll see you again soon. Thank you.